Hi, it's Tyler from 94.7 WLS Chicago. You're listening to Adam Lepp on WGH Talk Radio.
Adam Lepp!
Welcome once again, boys and girls, to the Adam the Computer Guy mid-morning coffee break radio extravaganza of fantastulabulousness and other proclivities. How's that for a beginning? We thank you for joining us here on The Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio in Marion, OH, voted the strongest town. Broadcasting via a virtual listening device near you on the TuneIn app, or, of course, you can go to our esteemed website, WWGH1071.com, and click on the Listen Now button. We have a great program for you, so whatever you are planning on doing for the next 44 minutes, cancel it, unless you have to go to the bathroom or do something else that's urgent. Hopefully your bathroom is not far from your radio, because I have a fantastic guest for you. No, I can't provide Bill Cosby or people that Scott Spears puts on. They're not close personal friends, like, again, they are to Scott, the interviewer, to the stars. But I can do something pretty close. A local interesting gentleman, and this is actually the third time that he's been on the show, which is rather cool with a capital K. His name is Chris Michael Ward. Yes, he kind of has three first names, but we can just call him Chris. He is an interesting dude. He has been in broadcasting himself, so we always have that in common. And he does stand-up comedy. And he is certainly one who never is shy about providing an anecdote or other interesting tale or other story about the fascinating life that he's lived in his 30-plus years. So let's make sure that the intern has properly duct-taped everything, and we are ready to roll. Chris, how are you on this fine January day?
I'm doing good, Adam. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Glad that all is going well. Now, you were on recently. I believe Calvin also joined us during that program. How did you enjoy your last radio visit with me and the esteemed WGH Talk Radio?
It was about a year ago, and I liked it. I like, you know, it's for a small station, I think WWGH offers a great variety of topics and guests.
That we do. It was a year ago, I guess it was. You know, my mama, Chris, always said time goes by fast when you get old. And, yeah, you know, I guess that's what happened to me. Every day the clock ticks, but I don't just get older, I get better, so it really is okay. But, you know, I've been with the station now pushing 10 years at this point, so a lot of little stories and things that have occurred. Interesting guests, people that I've met, people that Scott has talked to, and always a surprise, especially with me behind the microphone. And with me behind the microphone, not only will there always be a surprise, there will always be a lot of humor. Leave them laughing, as they say, and I think we have that in common. Chris,
yes,
tell us a bit about yourself. And as I mentioned, you have a radio background of yourself, of your own. So tell us a bit about your radio background, and just tell us a bit about Chris, because I know you have a lot of interesting anecdotes and quite a fascinating life story to provide. Not just information, but I think, you know, a little bit of humor and perspectives to our listeners.
Yeah, well, my radio career started in 2008, and then I interned for two local radio stations and a TV station, and then I started like calling in the radio shows and like being an unknown caller, and then that led to eventually being a co-host with somebody. And then we parted ways, and then I worked with somebody else for 7 years, and then we parted ways. So, you know, it's been a roller coaster ride.
Well, anybody who's been in broadcasting, Chris, can tell you that's kind of how the business is. Just when you think you figured it out or you got it stabilized, it throws you a curveball and just gets weird on you. But it can be a good weird, because you learn. Every day in broadcasting is a surprise. You not only learn something, but you find ways to better yourself and better all the people around you. Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH1071.com, also known as WGH Talk Radio, with my guest. He's also a friend of mine. We've actually known each other, Chris, several years. I'm not sure how many, because, again, time flies when you get old, but it's been at least four or five. Anyway,
yeah, I think we, you know, I think when we first met is when I did your show, or maybe the year after. So it's been about, you think you're right. I'm not very good at math, so It's been a few years.
Well, that's okay. And, you know, every day that we talk, we always seem to be enlightened. You know, one interesting thing about us, Chris, is, although I'm not saying we totally are on opposites, we don't really agree politically. Let's just say I'm a bit more to the right than you are. But I do think we agree on some issues. And I don't think of you as someone who's really super liberal. You're kind of like a mainstream, but also you're practical. I mean, you're smart enough to understand there are multiple sides to every story. And right now there are some major news events in this country and in the world that are really dividing people. And, you know, we probably can both vouch for this. Either we have or we know people who have lost friends, you know, become estranged from family members because they may not agree politically. And, you know, we don't have to discuss our own differences, which, again, I don't think really are even that substantial. But the idea, Chris, that, you know, before we get to these other topics, because it's such a contemporary issue right now, do you think that people in this country go a little too far with, unfriending on Facebook, you know, calling somebody names, telling somebody, you know, you're a bigot, you know, whatever the word might be, losing longtime friendships or estranging family members because they don't agree politically? Do you think it's important that, you know, people be more like we are, that even if we don't agree, we can still respect each other? Do you think we need more of that?
I think it depends. I think if you are extremely homophobic or extremely racist to a vast group of people, if you're labeled or considered that, I think it's something to ponder. I think we can agree to disagree on politics, but I think, in my opinion, we have a president we've never had before. So we've been dealing with things that we don't know how to deal with, and I think maybe both sides, we are so passionate and so personal because it affects us. Every vote affects us, even people we disagree with. I mean, you know, it affects us. So I think, you know, we want change and we're so passionate. And I think sometimes it helps to, you know, to break from people.
Yeah, it just depends upon the extreme. I mean, you bring up like racism, you know. Racism disgusts me, and it is a problem. But a person can be, you know, as I am, I would say somewhat conservative. I don't really think of myself as even being conservative, but sometimes it's by contemporary standards. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you discriminate against certain people or, again, as you mentioned, have a prejudice against people who may be different than you are. So I do think that there can be differences in how that's perceived. I certainly would not be friends with someone who is overtly racist. That would be highly offensive, and I that would be a cause for me to break a friendship. But, you know, where you or I, you know how I am. Again, you know, like we can just go issue by issue, things we may not see eye to eye on, but at least we can respect each other and provide a reason why we have these particular beliefs. And not only that, you can learn from somebody. So it is I guess it's something you could talk about ad nauseum, and people probably are doing that. So it's just something I brought up because that does come up in talk radio a lot. And maybe we do need to respect each other more and learn from each other. Well, as they say, you know, minds are like parachutes. They only work when they're open.
Well, I think, you know, personally with me and you, Adam, it's like we both try to be humorous with our politics.
I agree. Laughter is the best medicine.
We still upset people, but our intention is not, well, certainly not my intention. My intention is not to change people's minds or to personally attack someone because, you know, they're Trump, simply because they're a Trump supporter. It's maybe, you know, maybe they're not calling out what they disagree with. I mean, that's what I hear a lot of, you know, I don't agree with them on everything, but they don't call them out, you know.
Yeah, so you know, like, Donald Trump has caused a lot of divisiveness, or as Scott Speer says, divisive. I always ride Scott for that because it's divisive. It's not divisive, but that's okay. You know, Donald Trump has his own ways of pronouncing things, and if he can do it, so can Scott. Because I guess in that regard, maybe there is a little bit of a little teeny bit of similarity there. So yeah, we like to learn from each other, and laughter really is the best medicine. You got to laugh, and you and I think are pretty good at that. So we had some points to ponder there, Chris. I think we pretty much covered the first one, and that was a little backstory on me and why you left radio for a year. And so you did. What kind of is the time frame with that? And again, you did have the show on Blog Talk Radio. Unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio has gone the way of the hula hoop, which kind of stinks because it was a pretty good show. Right. You and Terry had a good show going with interesting guests. But you know, it does happen in this business.
Yes, me and my last co-host named Terry had a show for 7 years, and Blog Talk was going under, but we was going to do something else, and then we just didn't see eye to eye. So then we just parted ways, and I took that as like, you know, to work on stand up, and I did stand up for a minute, and then I fell and chipped my tooth and had to get all my teeth pulled, and then so that kind of backed me up. So yeah, this year is like my comeback. That's my comeback to radio, my comeback to stand up.
The dentist, you know, that's probably one of most people's least favorite people to visit. Mm-hmm. So how was that experience there, Chris, getting your teeth pulled? Just thinking that happened, and you know, you're not a very big guy, so your threshold for pain maybe lower. What was that really painful? I mean, you know, no one likes to go to the dentist. Nobody I know likes to go to the dentist, myself included.
I had to get all my teeth pulled, and I have to wear dentures. But my teeth were so bad anyway. You know, I mean, I went to a my teeth were so bad that my nephew used to call me SpongeBob. So you know, they were really bad, and so I think it was just a way to force myself to get my teeth fixed and pulled. And then, but I didn't feel any pain. The hardest part was not being able to eat certain foods. Living on a liquid diet and seeing people around me eat pizza and steak and wanting to wring their necks.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can go a week without eating pizza, Chris. I definitely am a pizzaholic for sure. So I feel your pain there. Maybe there's a future for you in like a Polident commercial, because those denture commercials are always a bit amusing. Maybe there's a future for you.
Well, you never know. You never know. Since I'm so honest about it anyway, you never know.
Yeah. You never quite know. So anyway, Chris Michael Ward is my guest here on The Talking Place, discussing, well, interesting events in his life, professionally, personally, and whatever else. So on the second topic, Chris, and this is perhaps the best one, we talked about comedy, laughing, humor is the best medicine. Don't ever take yourself too seriously. I don't take myself too seriously. I don't mind making fun of myself because I'm a pretty funny guy.
No.
So you have been doing stand-up comedy. You've been doing it at some places in the Columbus area. So tell us why you love doing stand-up comedy. You might be the next Jerry Seinfeld. Who knows? And how you first got heckled.
Doing stand-up comedy, I've always wanted to do it, like, growing up, but I never really had the chops, and then I did it. And then the second one I did was was taped, and I put it on YouTube, and it has, like, 100-something views, so that's great. But doing it, you know, I think it's therapeutic, because you're going on stage, and you're kind of speaking your mind, but you have to be funny. So it's like, you know, it's therapeutic being on stage, and if you can be funny, I think it's therapeutic. And being heckled the first time, that show wasn't taped, but I wish it were, because I went on stage and the lady said, he has a Red Bull, he must be funny. No, I should have said something that I didn't, but what I wanted to say was, I am funny. Red Bull gives you wings. How do you think I got here? You know.
I would say that, and that's kind of a Jerry Seinfeld type of humor. Just you take a look at things in everyday life, and you find humor.
Well, I cleaned it up for radio. I cleaned it up for this show, but I mean, it'd be more body than that.
Maybe. Well, that's okay. You know, I'm over 18. A lot over 18. we're both big fans, Chris, of the late great Joan Rivers. So I would think she's probably, I would think a role model or idol of yours. Anybody, are you a Seinfeld fan, a Richard Pryor, George Carlin? Who are some of your favorite comedians, and past and present, you know, besides, of course, Joan Rivers?
Besides Joan Rivers, people working today, I'd have to say Jessica Kirsten, she's funny, I love her. Kathy Griffin, she's still working, I love her. I briefly worked at a comedy club, and so I got to work a lot of shows. So I have to put Christopher Titus, who I got to see live, outside of working at the comedy club I worked at. He's one of my favorites. And then, of course, I like Dick Gregory and George Carlin and, you know, all the greats, and Lenny Bruce.
Oh, yeah, Dick Gregory. We had a 2-hour interview with him at Easton. He's since passed away. Great man, real intelligent. He just rattles off about stuff, and he's very politically incorrect, which, of course, I love. And
yes.
If you, not sure if you've seen the YouTube video, Chris, it is posted, but he was talking about, again, this is rated PG-13, but this is what he said. He's black, as you know, and he was discussing that it's actually white people who look more like apes. And he was explaining why, the differences in the way white people are built. You know, something totally politically incorrect, but you know what? It was a scientific assessment, and with my science background, I was fascinated. And who do you think he used as an example to show the differences in how white people are built versus black people? Well, it was yours truly, and so we were actually in the room with Scott. I think Sean Kraft was filming, and Dick kind of pointed out the differences, and he used my body as an example, and that's on the video. So just fascinating. Some people might find that offensive, or I don't. He was just saying what he feels, and it's interesting because there are differences.
Right.
So That's typical Dick Gregory for you. He will tell it like it is and never take himself too seriously. And you'd always leave not only laughing your you know what's off, but learning a few things. And that was just something that was a once in a lifetime. Again, he's passed away. I'll never experience that again. And I mean, that was 2 hours we spent with him. And he's really just a regular guy. He's just fascinating and very, very intelligent, I'll tell you that much. So that was one of the several great experiences I've had at the Talking Place, but leave it to Scott Spears to coordinate that. So,
all right.
Do have one token joke for you to tell, Chris. This is on your list of stuff to do. You wanted to tell one clean joke. Again, you know, you can, as I told you, you can use mild expletives, but we try to avoid the S word, the F word, and all that stuff, because this is a family program. So, yeah. Keep it PG or better, and go ahead, Chris. The mic is yours. Let's hear one of your fine examples of humor.
Okay, well, I have a cut. The thing with my jokes are half of it's true and half of it's like made up. You got to figure out which is which. But anyway, I have a cousin, and we grew up together. In high school, she was very popular. She was so popular, she was voted most likely to. Hold on. She was so popular, my cousin was so popular, she was voted most likely to need to get her sewed. Hold on. My cousin was so popular, she was voted most likely to need to get her legs sewed together.
Uh-huh.
I know, I ruined that joke, but anyway.
Well, that's like a Joan Rivers kind of a joke. Because like her friend Heidi Abramowitz, right? So that's kind of like a Joan Rivers type of joke. Okay, well, that's okay. That's rated PG. Which is fine. We can do that.
If I wouldn't have screwed up the punchline, it would have worked.
Well, you know, sometimes if you mess up a little bit, it actually is better. That can kind of add to the charm of the joke. It's like, okay, this joke is so funny, he's kind of thinking about what the punchline is, and then you finally hear it. It's like, well, yeah, it's hard to say that, but that's kind of how things go. So this humor, Chris, you write it yourself. Do you get the inspiration, like when you're having dinner, showering, like some people do? Does it just come naturally? What's your way of getting? What's your inspiration when you write this humorous material?
Well, I find, and you know, I'm not speaking for comedians who are, you know, more successful than me, and always, you know, but for what the comedians that I, the friend comedians that I have, and from what I've heard, I think a lot of jokes come to. Well, my joke's based on my life, really, and you know, and it's half political, and. It is anti-Trump. So, but the stuff about the self-deprecating humor is stuff that I've written, and it's stuff that's really happened. It's stuff that's really true, and I, you know, and I embellish it. I make it up to be funny. So, you know, it's like I said, it's half true and half not. And, you know, it's like, I think that's what all comedy is kind of based on. It's like based on something, but the punchline may be not the truth.
Yeah, I mean, that is the Joan Rivers or Jerry Seinfeld approach. Take things that have happened, things you witness in daily life, and just change them around a little bit. Like Kramer is based upon a real person. And sure enough, Chris Scott talked to the real Kramer, and Kenny Kramer, on one of his programs. Oh. So, you know, Seinfeld is like that. All in the Family, Norman Lear based some of the characters upon some of his own relatives. But you want to make them funny, because you need to find humor in this. And maybe someday we'll have a TV show based upon Donald Trump and Melania and Barrett. And now that would be a pretty good program, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, they've done that. Colbert had a cartoon called Our Cartoon President. I know there's a documentary called Melania. I mean, South Park really goes after Trump. I think people really have gone after Trump in a lot of ways. Yeah, I don't think it matters to the diehard MAGA people how anti-Trump you are or how funny you intend to be, because they're always going to get triggered.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like with Trump, you laugh at him. With Reagan, you kind of laughed with him because he was an actor, a very good actor. I mean, he was president of the Screen Actors Guild, governor of California. He had vast experience. Whereas with Trump, it's like you laugh at the guy, but, you know, my perspective is I think, like a lot of Americans, Chris, and whether they admit it or not, I don't like Trump as a man. I think he acts, you know, like a spoiled third grader. He needs to speak better English, and also some of the things he does I don't agree with, but there are things he stands for, things he's done that I do agree with, and I think we need to have them done. And at a lack of a better term, he has what they call cojones, you know, I know what that means. So and probably because his background is as a reality TV host, as a business owner, not as a politician. So he will do things that other politicians wouldn't, whereas Biden was a professional politician, you know, like Sherrod Brown or Mike DeWine. They're going to be a lot more couth. You know, I'm no big fan of Mike DeWine, and he's not even a very good speaker, but he is gentlemanly. You know, he's not uncouth because he's so experienced, and he's a very good attorney. I think he was a very good attorney general. Just governor, he's been rather disastrous, if you want my opinion. So a totally different kind of a man there. And it's like, do we need that to shake the country up, or has Donald Trump gone too far? And I guess with me, Chris, I kind of go back and forth between those things. But I mean, I think, you know, even in your case, I'm sure you could find things Donald Trump has done or believes in that you would agree with. But again, how he goes about and does it is a different matter. You know, it was unnecessary, you know, to tell a reporter, you know, shut up, piggy, or something. That's just unpresidential. And there are ways of doing things in a more professional type of manner. And, you know, does he want to entertain? Because that's kind of what he did on The Apprentice. Probably, but, you know, hosting The Apprentice and being the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, are two very different things.
Trump wants to be something he's not. If I had to list one thing I would say Trump did, and I have to say that there's so much he's done that I disagree with. I mean, there's so much that's like anything good can be out the window because he's kind of gone too far as like wars and whatnot. But in any regard, the thing I would give Trump credit for is the fact that he gave Elvis a prominent Presidential Medal of Freedom, I think.
I agree with that. I think music is important. And Elvis being an American who crossed R&B, country, rock, you know, played guitar. I mean, and he was known as a nice guy, and he was a very good actor also. So I think that's deserving. I mean, that wasn't a major thing Trump did. I agree with you, though.
At least
I think he appreciates it, and we need to do that. Pop culture is part of our history and part of what makes America great. And again, Elvis being American, you know, dying at such a young age, and multi talented. And again, he was known as a nice guy. I'd never had a chance to meet the guy, but from what I've heard, he loved his fans. Let's put it that way. So I had no problem with that at all. But I mean, there are some certain things that I would agree with Trump on, but I may not agree with the way that he carries them out. As the leader of the free world, it is important to conduct yourself in a professional manner. And I think even the, even Trump's staunchest supporters would agree that he can be a bit uncouth, to put it mildly. And if he would work on conducting himself in a professional manner, and even if you don't like something, you know, don't call a reporter piggy. Find a better way to say that. I think that would probably help him. But you know, he's arrogant. He's not going to listen. But it's okay. He does entertain, as we said. I don't want to sound contradictory. You want to find humor in things, but you also have to act professionally. And there's a way of doing that. Reagan was very good at that. He could be funny, but he could also be very professional. Doesn't mean I agreed with him on issues, but as a man, as a speaker, he was very likable. Maybe Donald Trump having some of those qualities would help him.
Well, Trump wants to be a comedian. He needs to go to a comedy club, not be president, you know.
Well, quite possibly. Maybe Trump should be appearing on the same stage as you, Chris. Now, that would be interesting.
I mean, yeah, and also learn to take a joke. I mean, the guy can't take a joke. I mean, if the whole excuse is going to be Donald Trump was making a joke, make a joke about your damn self, too.
You
got to make fun of yourself, too, not just other people. That's what makes you not an a-hole.
Yeah, I would agree, and you're good at that. I certainly am. So, Donald, if you're listening, well, you may want to heed that advice. Chris Michael Ward is my guest here on WGH Talk Radio. Adam Lepp, coming out of your virtual listening device, and I broadcast my program of fabulousness Eastern Time, Monday, 10:15 to 11 in the morning. Afternoons 12:15 to 1, Wednesday and Thursday. And you can go to our website, wwgh1071.com, go to my section, and listen on demand to every program I've ever done, hundreds and hundreds of programs for your listening pleasure. Plus, I often call the Scott Spears program. I've substituted for Scott, so you may hear my dulcet tones on the Scott Spears section also, if you're a good boy or a good girl. Another question you wanted me to ask you there, Chris, and this is always one of intrigue. What TV shows do you currently love watching? And do you agree with me that TV from, let's say, you know, the 70s to, the 90s was better than it is today? Or do you think today's TV shows are better? What are some of your opinions on that?
Well, you know, for a while I didn't have cable, so it was hard for me to watch a lot of shows that I found intrigued. So it's like, Happy's Place, which is a show with Reba McEntire. That's a great show. That's on Fridays on NBC. Just a little plug. Not that I get anything from that. But and then there's RuPaul's Drag Race. I like that one on MTV. I always liked RuPaul. I always liked that show. I never really followed it like I am this season.
You haven't been on that show, have you?
I haven't been on that show, and I haven't really been following.
Okay.
Like I haven't been watching week by week like I am this season. Okay. But I know some of the winners, and I met some, like Bianca Del Rio. I met her years ago. Okay. And I also like you might like this one, Adam. It's Lisa Kudrow, The Comeback on HBO.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah, I've not watched it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, it was on for 3 years, and they're going to bring it back. So I recently got to start watching that. So yeah, those are my favorite shows. How about you, Adam? Can I ask you what yours are?
Do you watch any of the comedies or dramas? You know, I watch Chicago Med. I like, it's kind of like ER. ER is a little better, but you know, at times it's good. What else do I mean? I might watch Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune, you know, game shows, mm-hmm. even though they were better 20 years ago, but they're still okay.
Yeah.
In terms of current programs, that's not too much. I'm almost always watching stuff from, you know, between the 70s and 90s. So between the Brady Bunch era and one of my favorite shows, Frasier.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Frasier's a good one. But yeah, I watch a lot of Law and Order. That's one of my favorite dramas.
Yeah, that's been on like as long as you've been alive almost. Yeah, I like Law and Order.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was better 20 years ago, but still around.
Well, there's still all the spinoffs, and now they're doing a crossover. They're going to cross over.
Many of them. I've lost count. So. But yeah, those are good programs, and I like, again, cable programs of the stuff on Discovery ID, you know, the news, of course, which often the line between news and comedy is often very thin. So you know, multiple things to watch. This Reba McEntire program, is it like her original program called Reba? How does that compare to her original show?
I think it's the same writers and the same producers, but this one is a totally different one. This one, she owns a bar, but she has brought back some of the people from the Reba show. But this one, she owns a bar with her sister, and they have Melissa Peterman, who played Barbara Jean on the show. So this one's a whole different storyline, but it's still funny.
Yeah, she's like Elvis. I mean, multi-talented, good singer. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. not bad looking, and a good actress also. So someone with multiple talents. So, any questions you wanted to ask me, Chris? We can always turn the microphone around. I'm sure there's got to be something you want to ask me. At least something that we can say on the air.
we didn't plan this one, but I mean, I like music wise. I like Madonna. I like Streisand. Of course, I love Bette Midler and stuff like that. So that's the kind of music I like. What music do you like, Adam?
Well, I listen to very little current music, and as people who know me can attest, if a song is from between about 73 and 87, I will probably know it in the first few notes. Whereas anything that's within the last 30 years, I'm pretty clueless. You know, I'll admit I like Lady Gaga, Katy Perry.
Uh-huh.
I could do without Taylor Swift. I really don't quite understand her appeal, other than she likes to write songs about her past relationships, and you know, she's dating the football player. So I guess there's some pop culture attached to her. But you know, do I like Elvis and the Beatles? As you know, most music, even if it's not very good, in some ways is influenced by those two artists. I liked Aerosmith before they had that horrendous redo of Walk This Way. So in the 70s, they were, in the early 80s, they were great. I liked the Philadelphia sound, the old school R&B. And again, some of the hair band stuff, Night Ranger is a favorite of mine. I like power ballads. I like the Carpenters. Bette Midler, I like Boogly Woogly Bugle Boy. I kind of like her older stuff. Again, she's also multi-talented, a good actress, and you know, still around, a caring person from what I seem to gather.
Oh yeah, she's very caring. We have mutual friends, and I hear she's very caring.
And I like the Kennys, Kenny Loggins and the late Kenny Rogers. When I was in broadcasting in the 80s, Kenny Rogers was huge. So pretty much every hour we would play one of his songs. And he kind of morphed from kind of a punk sound in the late 60s to country pop, you know, to soft rock country, to kind of back and forth between country and easy listening. So someone with a lot of versatility. Plus he acted. And he had a good image. You know, a lot of men tried to look like Kenny Rogers, kind of like how some women try to look like Cher. People tried to look like Michael Jackson at one time. So some of these are, and are Elvis. They're always the Elvis impersonators. So they're always people who try to impersonate these famous artists. So they have that place in pop culture.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was done. Go ahead.
Okay, I didn't know when he was done, so I didn't mean to cut you off. But speaking of Elvis impersonator, I do want to speak out to the spear that there's a great Elvis impersonator that I used to sing with when I was a kid, and I sang Viva Las Vegas. And I don't have the video, so I can't upload it, but maybe they do. But Mike Albert's his name.
Yeah.
Mike Albert,
yes.
A-L-B-E-R-T. And he's a great one. People need to look him up.
Yeah, I've heard of him, and yeah, we have the Donald Trump impersonator who's been on the station many times, and he's just hilarious because he does it perfectly. I can impersonate some presidents, you know, Harry Carey, Dr. Ruth, I do. I can't do Donald Trump for some reason. He just escapes me as someone who's just hard for me to impersonate. But we have enough people that do, and I think you know, Chris, I think secretly, Donald Trump likes these impersonators. I think he probably enjoys hearing that. He likes the attention. Again, you know, he's like
he loves the attention.
Like the spoiled third grader.
He loves the attention.
Yeah, he just wants he wants attention, and you know, I mean, it's good. At least he wants to be in the spotlight, and I do think he cares. He has his unique way of caring, but I think deep down he does. He should just act, you know, he doesn't have to act like the 79-year-old man that he is, but he should act at least 20. Because right now I think he acts about half that. But you know, he's just so different. We have had such differences in the presidents in the last 20 years. You know, I'm used to where Reagan served and then George H.W. Bush was president, they weren't super different because they were president and vice president. But, you know, there were some differences. But, you know, we go from Obama, Biden, to Trump, Clinton, all totally different. You know, and even with Biden, he was different as a vice president than he was as a president. You know, unlike the way I think the first George Bush was. So we've really seen that, and you know, it's fascinating. But it just seems to me these politicians, and this happens at a local level also, that they're constantly just undoing what the last person did. You know, this gubernatorial election is fascinating because we have Amy Acton, who worked closely with Mike DeWine during COVID, and you know what I think about her and their COVID policies, even though she's a Democrat. And then we have Vivek, who is a Republican, but I don't think he sees very eye to eye with DeWine, even if they're both Republicans, and DeWine has officially endorsed him. Vivek is also much younger than DeWine. So it seems like even if Vivek wins and we go Republican to Republican, we're going to have someone who is very different than the current person. But if Amy Acton wins, even though she was an important member of DeWine's cabinet, it seems like she will be very different also. So that's also kind of fascinating. So I guess we'll just see.
Yeah.
We'll just see what happens. And if nothing else, Chris, I think you would agree. When you're in radio, even if it's just a DJ, because you end up talking about current events anyway. There's so much going, even though a lot of it is negative, there's so much going on in the world right now. There's always something to talk about. You know, we can talk, we can kind of joke about our differences in politics and, you know, and agree on a few things. Like, okay, well, Donald Trump, you know, he acts like a spoiled schoolgirl sometimes. And he's funny, but he needs to act more professional. Yeah, and even though we can find something we might like about the guy, you know, I do like the fact that Reagan, even if he was funny and he was hilarious at times, did conduct himself professionally. And that, you know, Obama, I'm not saying I was a big fan of his, but someone who always had a professional approach to him. You know, someone who would never call a reporter piggy. So, you know, so I think there are things that, you know, so to speak, you know, if Obama could breathe on Donald Trump, so to speak, and impart some of his professionalism, I think it would do Donald Trump a lot of good.
Well, all the presidents that you listed, I mean, from my understanding, again, I'm only, you know, I'm 30-something years old, so I don't know everything, but from my understanding, all the presidents that you listed, they were able, forget January 6th, forget the name-calling, forget the threatening to corrupt women by their privates, forget that. They were all able to take a joke, and at their own expense, and Donald Trump cannot. Donald Trump goes after people making jokes at his own expense. Now, again, like you said, he could be doing it for attention, but again, it's stupid attention, and it makes him look stupid outside of his base.
Yeah, it's something Donald Trump can learn. But, you know, my mother always said, Chris, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, and Donald Trump, almost 80, I don't think he's going to change. So we have to deal with that.
No, but he needs to be out. They said that Biden had dementia. Trump has worse.
Yeah. Well, we shall see what happens. You know, he's got that big 80th birthday coming up, and we'll see who will be president next. Certainly, whoever is president, something tells me, Chris, it'll be a surprise. Someone we never thought would be president. Because if you would have told me, even 15 years ago, Donald Trump's going to be president for 8 years total, or at least 2 terms. I would say that's ridiculous. Donald Trump is a real estate investor and a TV show host. He wouldn't be president, but sure enough, just when you think you got life figured out, you get thrown a curve. And as my mom,
a guy who can bankrupt a casino is president. Think about that. Think about how strange that is.
That's a bit ironic, isn't it? You know,
it is.
So, you know, as my mama always said, Chris, and my mama was a very wise woman, truth is stranger than fiction. And sometimes I got to pinch myself to realize that I'm not on the Twilight Zone, that I'm actually living a reality. So, Chris Michael Ward from the Columbus area has been my guest here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program of fabulousness and outstanding content and other fine proclivities. And as my mama also told me, in fact, my daddy also told me this too, time flies when you're having fun. and we are getting into the last few minutes of our radio program. So, Chris, you wanted me to have you tell people how people can find you on social media. So why don't you go ahead and enlighten our audience?
Well, I'm on at Chris Michael Ward on Blue Sky, Chris Michael Ward on Facebook, Christopher Michael Ward on Instagram, and Chris Michael Ward on YouTube. And
well, that's complicated. How do we? I got to remember which ones are you, Christopher? Which ones are you, Chris?
It is complicated.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous because you know there's
I don't know how to simplify it.
There's no nickname for Adam. See, I can't. Adam doesn't have a nickname.
Right.
And that's what you
know. You can look up Chris Michael Ward on all the platforms. You should be able to find me.
Okay, that's easier because it's like you know, at least Donald Trump doesn't have a nickname because what do you call him? Donnie? You know, the Donald.
He goes by. He has nicknames. He just doesn't use them.
He goes by the Donald. You know, King Donald the First. So. But again, that does have a nickname, and I guess with Barack also, you know, he has in the past gone by Barry, but now it's just Barack. There's no nickname. And it's an unusual name, so you always remember what it is. But it's like Adam. I get kind of jealous, Chris, because I don't have any nicknames. So you can look up Adam Lepp. There's about three or four Adam Lepps in North America, so I'm the best looking one. Just look me up. But people know how to find me. So. Chris, thank you again for joining us, and I'm sure we will have your dulcet tones on our program at a future time. Always interesting perspectives. We laugh a little bit and tickle a few brain cells. Before we turn the microphones off, Chris, do you have any final parting words?
Well, I just want to say thank you, Adam, for letting me come on, and I'll come back anytime you want, anytime I'm able. And I appreciate this time with you, and I thought this conversation went pretty good, and I'm sorry if I cut you off all the times I did, and thank you.
Well, that's okay. We'll let it slide, and thanks again, folks, for listening. Again, if you have any questions, comments, complaints, suggestions, or just want to say hi, Adam, Happy New Year, Adam at WWGH1071.com.
Do you ever ponder? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever question? Did my server serve me? Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam. Do you find it a waste of time because you cannot hear online? Call Adam, the computer.